what are some reforms you'd like to see within the next year or within the next 10 years?
Reforms that I would like to see in the next year to next 10 years.
I know that's a big leap, but...
Now I have to think. In the next 10 years, I want my grandson, who is 10 now, not to have to be afraid that a police officer that he sees on the street might, is in a position to kill him. My 10-year-old grandson has expressed that he's afraid of being stopped because he's afraid the police officer will kill him. He needs to know that he is as safe on the street as any other person, that all people are as safe and don't have to have a fear that by being there, their life is thought of as less, is treated as less, that they feel as less because of the police. That's
right.
Number one. Number two is every barrier to the vote should be eradicated. If I'm old enough, if I'm a citizen of the United States, if I've been a resident of a place for X number of years, whatever the residential requirement may be in a particular district, my right to vote is there. Don't tell me I got to do nothing else. The Constitution said there should be no barriers to the vote, and that means none. Don't tell me that I need an ID. Don't tell me I need to pass a test. Nothing. Get rid of it. I vote because that is my right as a citizen and my responsibility as a citizen. So, yeah, okay, you made me think.
I mean, that's what we're here for, right? Next one. What do you think about defunding the police? Do you think that is a good or bad idea? And how should we go about it if we were to do it?
Well, I don't think defunding the police is an idea that I want to advance. I think that...
No, I hear you. I do. When I first heard this idea, I was like, no, we need them to have that money.
No. Yeah, we need them. And protect and serve. Serve me. Don't serve me up. Serve me. Take care of me.
Right.
So, no, I don't see defunding the police as the actual act that I want to advance. I think what I would prefer to advance is... eradicating some of those contractual barriers that make it less possible to prosecute bad actors. So those things that police unions build into their contract to make it hard or impossible to prosecute a bad act by a bad police officer need to be done away with. That I don't think it's defunding the police. I think it's giving them a mission that is more clear, does not include mental health intervention, does not protect bad actors, intentional bad actors. That's what I think.
So perhaps we could work on retraining them, you know, some more classes on how to handle people of color when they feel they are dangerous, quote unquote.
I think police officers need more education and more training than they have right now. I think it is a higher calling than a high school diploma. I hope I don't get in trouble for that, but I think I really do think it's a higher calling than it requires more training. It requires more sensitivity. I think that the responsibility of the police officer is to serve the entire community, no matter the color, to serve that community equally. It may need more racial sensitivity training. I don't know. I do know that I think policing is a higher calling than I think it's a higher calling.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think about some police departments refusing to hand over the disciplinary information on the cops they have at the station?
Well, that goes back to what I said before. I think there needs to be more contractual responsibility. There needs to be a different contractual setup with the police so that a lot of the artificial shields that are put up, they need to come down because bad actors need to be addressed. appropriately, and to have a contractual, to say contractually you can't get the information because a bad actor did something that needs further investigation, I think that's wrong.
Definitely. We should know who is serving us and who is supposed to be protecting us. We should know their records and what they've done.
Yeah, I don't think bad actors should be protected by contract. I don't. That is the bottom line. I don't think a bad actor should be protected by contract. If I commit the act and I'm going to jail for it and I'm not a police officer, a police officer who commits the same act, I'm not saying by degree, but the same act should be just as subject to arrest and going to jail as I would as a citizen.
Right. All right. So as sensitive as the topic is, do you think we should teach our children about systematic racism? Because I personally, I teach my little sister about what's going on in the world today because she's very smart and she's a brown child. So, I need her to be informed because I was well informed, even though I was still in a bubble, if you understand what I mean. And,
yes.
I grew up in a suburb, so I didn't see police brutality. I didn't see the police as an enemy. So I'm trying to explain to her that, once you leave this area, it will be a different world. And, I teach her Black history and everything. But what do you think about implementing that into classrooms, possibly, or just us alone teaching it to our kids at home?
I think we should teach our children to be aware. As I said, I have a 10-year-old grandson, and I want him aware. I want him to know... I want him to identify wrong and to have the tools to deal with it. So I want the eradication of systematic racism. I don't want to have to teach my child about it, but I want my child to be aware, to know what the situation is, to know what their rights are under a circumstance. I want him to be informed, to not go into an area and not be aware of his surroundings, aware of what is going on.
Okay.
Heads up too much.
No, you're doing great. Okay, and lastly, how can we get, let me not start lastly. I'll edit that out. Okay, how can we get the children involved in voting before they are old enough to vote?
Oh, well, now I'm going to tell you a story, and everybody tells me I tell too many stories, but here's a story. I am old enough to have seen my grandmother vote for the first time, and she came back. I lived in the South Bronx, and she came back to the house after leaving the church where she voted for the first time. She had been a resident of Virginia, but she moved to New York with my parents. So I saw her come in with tears in her eyes after voting. And believe me, I had no idea what it was that made her cry, but it was the first time I ever heard anybody say she was crying tears of joy.
Mm.
So my daughter always went to the... I didn't always go to the poll with my parent, though, but my daughter always went to the polls with me. And we would have little discussions about what am I doing, why am I doing it, where are we going, and it became a special event for us. My grandson goes to the polls with my daughter and I, and he knows to ask questions, and believe me, if you asked him right now, he would tell you which candidate he prefers and why he prefers that candidate, but we talk. We talk about the issues. We talk about what's going on. We talk about our responsibility as citizens, and we talk about the fact that despite what other people, they may be immigrants and this and that and the other that came from this place and the other, my family knows there has been one of us in this country since 1797. We can trace back that far. So I want the right that come to me as a citizen of the United States because I've been here long enough to have earned them.
Okay.
So that's what we teach them. That's what we have to teach them, that voting is something so incredibly special that you got to take part.
Yeah, they don't know how hard our people fought for their right just to vote. It was only a few years ago when you think about it.
Yep, but we have to keep saying that. We have to keep talking to them about that. They have to keep seeing what happened at the Pettus Bridge. They have to know what was going on, what the Freedom Riders were there for. They have to know. It had to be like a second skin. It had to be second nature. It can't be something that you find out about for a month. It can't be... It's got to be be ingrained. I hear young people, I heard young people oftentimes say, don't tell me about slavery. That was back then. And those were black children.
Mm-hmm.
And don't tell me about that, this, that, and the other. That was back then. No. Remember, we're only here because there were very strong-willed people who were determined to survive. They were determined to keep living no matter what. And they lived. And they made it possible for us to live now. So, you know, you can't talk to me about, oh, it's not important. You don't need to do it. It's all predetermined. No. No. I vote like it. I vote like my life depends on it.
Because it does.
Because it does. Yes. Voting is essential, and it's got to be part of your bloodstream. It's got to be part of how you breathe. It's got to be part of everything that you think about, because you can't complain if you didn't vote. You don't have that right.
Right. Lastly, how can the people get involved with the NAACP, and how can we reach you?
The Troy NAACP has a Facebook page. You can go there. You can Google Troy NAACP, and you'll get to our website. You can join by that way, by the website, through the website. We're easily accessible.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
Okay.
Well, we are out of time, and we just spoke with Pat Jordan, the chairman of civic engagement for the NAACP. And once again, don't forget, they are co-sponsors for the Let the People Decide Town Hall event that will be held this Friday, September 25th at 7 p.m. To register, please call 518-272-2390 or find the event at Facebook/Media Sanctuary. Thank you so much, Ms. Jordan, for sitting down with me today. I had a great time talking to you.
Thank you, and you're very welcome.